Who could forget old mystery thrillers like The Case of the Transposed Legs, or The Skull of the Waltzing Clown, or The Case of the Crazy Corpse? Almost everyone, it seems. Harry Stephen Keeler wrote those books, and many more, back in the 1930s and 40s, but he's long been forgotten by much of the reading public. Today, Harry Stephen Keeler's novels have a new following, not because they were particularly good, but because they were so bad they could make you groan. Take his gift for simile. Please, here's a classic, as coldly calculating as an adding machine sitting on the North Pole. Harry Stephen Keeler is also responsible for Flying Strangler Baby. It's a tale of a killer midget who disguises himself as a baby and stalks his victims by helicopter. Mr. Keeler's books can now sell for $200 or $300 a copy. Paul Collins is a Keeler head, if you please. He joins us now from Palatine Recordings in Portland, Oregon. Mr. Collins, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
Can you give us an example of his prose style?
Oh, I certainly can. This is from his book, The Riddle of the Traveling Skull. The narrator, Clay Calthorpe, has been on a streetcar in Chicago and has accidentally exchanged bags, identical bags, with a clergyman. Mm-hmm. And the clergyman's bag proves to have a skull in it. It must be remembered at the time that I knew quite nothing, naturally, concerning Milo Payne, the mysterious Cockney-talking Englishman with a checkered, long-beaked Sherlock Holmes cap, nor of the latter's bar bag, which was as like my own bag as one Milwaukee Wienerwurst is like another, nor of Lega, the human spider, with her four legs and her six arms, nor of Ichabod Chang, ex-convict, son of Dong Chang, nor of the great Simon, with his 2,163 pearl buttons, nor of, well, in short, I then knew quite nothing about anything or anybody involved in the affair of which I had now become a part, unless, perchance, it were my nemesis, Sophie Kratzen-Schneider-Wumple.
This is so impressive in the absolute utter impossibility you would have of actually keeping track of this.
I'd actually like to add, that was all one sentence.
Thank you.
I think the period key was missing from his typewriter. That's my theory, at least.
Well, he had his own aesthetic then, it must be said. I mean, nobody else writes like that, at least not professionally.
No, certainly not on purpose. It's not only is it incomprehensible, it's not even meant to be comprehensible. And that's half the fun of it, I think.
Please tell us about this notable literary figure, Harry Stephen Keeler, like Hemingway, Farrell, Ben Hecht, and Charles MacArthur, and Scott Turow. This is a Chicago author.
Yes, although perhaps the closer comparison is to Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, the guy who made those B, D, or F movies, yes.
Keeler is I like to think of him as the world's best, worst writer. He's someone that could create a plot like X Jones of Scotland Yard, which features one of these flying strangler babies who goes around in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. A flying strangler baby. Maybe you need to explain how that plays out a little bit. I mean, if you've got a helicopter, why would you need to impersonate a baby to strangle someone?
That's a good question. Fortunately, Keeler didn't trouble himself with these explanations too much. It's probably because of the way he wrote. His technique, he used to write what he called web work novels. It's kind of strange to realize this guy actually had a developed sort of aesthetic theory behind his work. What he would do, apparently, he was always clipping odd things he'd seen in newspapers. And when it was time for him to write a book, he would grab a handful, spread them out, look at them, and think, okay, how can I connect all of these? And I guess the only way he was able to connect some of them was with a flying strangler baby.
Now, he wrote over 70 books, I'm told.
Yes, although not all of them are available in English. His readership declined a bit in his later years, and so his last few novels were only published in Spanish and in Portuguese.
That's still a tribute to the fact that he did have a following.
He did. I think that actually is a testament to his charms, such as they are. Mm-hmm. What he really did was he took the mystery genre and he turned it upside down. You know, sort of the old rule of thumb in writing fiction is that you don't introduce characters more than about a third of the way into the book. Mm-hmm. Well, in one of his books, in fact, in X Jones of Scotland Yard, the killer is introduced in the last sentence of the last page.
Well, that'll keep people guessing, won't it?
Well, what's so wonderful about that is he was actually publishing these with his publisher, Dutton. Mm-hmm. And they had this series where they would include a little notice, usually about 30, 40, 50 pages from the end of the book. It showed the shrouded figure holding out a hand saying, "Stop. You now have enough clues to solve the mystery. Don't read any further. First, see if you can solve it." Well, they would put these notices in Harry Keeler books, and there's no way you could solve them. The killer hadn't even been introduced yet.
Now, today the novels are beginning to be collected because of their camp value, but were there people at the time we're talking about who actually read Keeler books for the pleasure?
Yeah, he actually had a pretty good following. I think people who are following him now, it's funny, a lot of authors and editors are among his fans now. And I think it's because Keeler does everything that you are never, ever supposed to do in writing, and somehow seems to get away with it.
I mean this sincerely. Did he think it was good writing? I mean, was he doing the best he could, or was he striking a consciously comic pose?
I think he was actually quite serious about it. And I say that really for two reasons. One was that he actually went to the trouble of working out this whole aesthetic theory of his work. The other was that he stuck with this even when he couldn't even find an English publisher for it anymore. Mm-hmm. He really believed that this was the future of the mystery novel.
Mm. When did Mr. Keeler depart this world?
1967, and there's something of a mystery attached to that and to him now, because one of the reasons that Keeler's works go for hundreds of dollars now is that the old copies are really one of the only ways to get them. His widow, his second wife, Thelma Keeler, died in Arizona in 1998. She lived to be quite old. And nobody knows who owns the copyright. It's probably some distant cousin. And until that person's found, none of his works can be brought back into print.
So if we can get that copyright stuff worked out, there are more Harry Stephen Keeler works that the world can enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. If if there is a relative of Thelma Ronaldo Keeler out there, a lot of people would like to find you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Scott.
Paul Collins is a member of the Harry Stephen Keeler Society. He's also founder and editor of the Collins Library. It's a project dedicated to the reprinting of unusual out-of-print literary works. This would seem to qualify. His latest book is called Not Even Wrong, Adventures in Autism. Mr. Collins, why don't you read us a little Harry Stephen Keeler?
Sure. This is a description by a guy who works in a candy factory of his girlfriend. Sweet, that kiss, like our buttercream center bar. And blonde she was, like our Crispo taffy, with eyes as blue as jelly bean number 18, which goes into the jelly bean mixture number 9, and dressed all in pink silk, as pink and as crisp as our Silco spun crunch.
Ah, the words of a master. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.